Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing, and it's Friday, so we will take some time to dive beneath the headlines on one of the week's big stories. And this week, well, take it away, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu.
And now we'd like to introduce our next Boston Police Commissioner, Michael Cox.
6-month process by the search committee ended with the selection of Michael Cox as the next commissioner of the Boston Police Department. It's an agency he knows well, for better and worse.
He was a Boston police officer for 33 years before becoming the chief in Ann Arbor, Michigan. In 1995, while working undercover in Boston, he was beaten by fellow officers after being mistaken for a suspect.
Sound from NBC News there. Cox says what he went through ultimately will make him a better leader.
I was a victim of some unconstitutional policing, no different than probably incidents that have happened throughout the country to black and brown, people in general.
His selection has been met with a fair amount of praise, including from one of his predecessors, former Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis.
We are giving the reins of this police department over to a man that will serve the community and the police officers.
But even Cox himself admits there is a lot for the next leader of the BPD to tackle.
There's some history here, right? It's hard to move forward unless you acknowledge some of that history, right? And we'll acknowledge it, but the fact is we're always trying to move forward to make sure we serve the citizens of Boston well.
So we're going to start to tackle some of that now. Joining us on the line to talk about it, former Massachusetts State Representative Marie St. Fleur, who served on the 11-member Boston Police Reform Task Force. Welcome back, Marie.
Great to be with you, Tiziana.
And here in Studio 2, Kim Janey, mayor of Boston from March to November 2021. Kim, welcome back.
It is great to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you. So I'll start with you, Mayor Janey. Reactions to the choice?
Well, I think it is a very interesting choice. We certainly need a leader who can move the police department forward here in Boston. We certainly have made improvements since the mid-1990s, when we know there were so many challenges within the police force. So I'm encouraged, but the job is very big. There are still lots of challenges. We've made improvements, but we cannot kid ourselves to thinking that we have arrived. We know that there is a culture of fear, that there is a blue wall of silence in the police department, and that there are lots of reforms that need to take place. So I'm hopeful, I'm encouraged, and I certainly hope our new commissioner can tackle these problems and will get the support that he needs to do so and lead the department.
So, Marie St. Fleur, when you wear both your community member hat and your police reform task force hat, what's your read on this appointment?
Well, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged for two reasons. The first reason is that now we've had two folks of color, of black males, who have been appointed as commissioner of the Boston Police Department. So it's not an anomaly anymore that it's happened. So it's the second time. And now we have an opportunity to really dig. So since it's not a novelty, it's now we have a chance to really dig deep into the structural issues that's existed in the Boston Police Department for decades. So I think that's a good step. The second step is that you've hired someone who's actually from Boston and from the community, and who has had an experience or knows the history of the Boston Police Department, and in spite of that history, stayed on and moved through the ranks, and so understand how the structural issues that exist within the department has relationships with the existing force and has relationships in the community, then step out of it to be able to see how other entities, how other organizations, how other police departments function, and gain some insight there, and now is bringing it back to help move the change forward. So I think all of for those two reasons, I think that there is an opportunity here to really put in place a lot of the reforms that the task force worked on diligently in 2020, 2021. And so I'm excited to see how we move forward.
So picking up on that thread, Kim Janey Marie just said, you know, he stayed after that beating in 1995 and the cover-up and the force afterward. Here is incoming Commissioner Michael Cox talking about why he stayed and why he decided to stay at the time.
I chose to stay because I believe in policing in a community-friendly way. And I know the men and women that I work with believe in that same thing, too. And the reality is, me leaving was not going to help.
I was struck by that because we happened to talk to former Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis at the beginning of the week on a different subject, but guns came up, and he kept going back to how important community policing is in the city of Boston. Do we have a special chance to lean into community policing in some new way with this commissioner, or is this somebody who will undergird what we already do?
Yep. So here's what I would say. One, I think the fact that he experienced the worst of our police department and stood and fought does inform his thinking and will make him a better leader because he understands those challenges from a very personal way. Will he be able to move forward? I certainly hope that he can. I think, you know, there are opportunities to move us forward. The community policing here in Boston has been a national model. I've heard our new commissioner talk about the importance of working with the community, which I support and agree with. But I also think the community needs to see a change within the department. So it's not enough to say we will build relationships with the community. It's not enough to talk about community policing and work with young people. All of those things are incredibly important. But until the community actually sees a change within the department in terms of the culture and some of the reforms that need to take place, it's going to be hard to bridge that relationship.
So I'm going to put together a couple of pieces of sound for us here. First, here's Cox again, incoming police commissioner, with a message to fellow officers about the importance of accountability.
We're going to support you to death. We're going to make sure that you're developed. We're going to make sure that you have all that you need to do this job. You know, but we're also going to hold you accountable for all the things that we ask you to do.
And Marie St. Fleur, I'm going to pair this with a comment from activist Jamal Crawford. He told WBUR's Deb Becker that he thinks Cox has a lot of qualifications, but isn't necessarily convinced that he'll represent real change.
The one column, the checkbox for me that does not work out is, have you been an active champion for justice, given that you too were a victim of the same system that much of the community has complained about?
So, Marie, I know you served on the police reform task force with Jamal Crawford. React to what you just heard from him, and how effective is that shot across the bow from the incoming police commissioner about accountability in the department?
See, I think that structural change happens when folks who are in there are also willing to stay in there and work it through. It doesn't happen overnight. So, simply a commissioner or a Cox problem. It is a collective problem that we all have to sort of lean into to help with the change. And so he's done what he can. He took his beating in 1995. He fought the fight, had his family attacked, threatened. He, as an individual, went back into that force. Think about it, in 1995, the force that we had, that young man was willing to go back in there and stick it through and fight through. Sometimes you need somebody who's going to be willing to be in on the inside to be that example and to really look and understand what the structural issues are and move the change. I think he has done that to the best of his abilities. When I look at the number of areas that he has led within the Boston Police Department, so he has a deep understanding of where the challenges might lie. So I think now the question is, how do we support him? Because obviously, he wasn't able to do it on his own, nor was he the lead. I don't know Michael Cox, but I'm encouraged that he has the breadth of experience that he has, and that he comes with it and with the personal experience that he has, as well as the professional experience that he has. And so what I do think is possible here is that he is going to be able to point out and work with the existing police force, because you have to work with those you have, and work towards those you'd like to bring in, work with the existing police force to bring the change, and he's going to be willing to call it out because now he's the top person in that administration. He's going to be willing to call it out. And I think that is what's exciting, is that he is in a position to call it out and to pull people together to help move the change in very specific ways. The transparency issue, it's really around using the certification process that POST has now made available, so that we can actually point out the bad actors and make certain that they're not recertified, right?
So for listeners, POST stands for the Police Officer Standards and Training, which is new, right, in the last couple of years. Marie,
that's
thanks
correct.
For that. So we are talking with former state representative and member of the Boston Police Reform Task Force, Marie St. Fleur, and Kim Janey, former Boston mayor and member of the Boston City Council. I'm going to ask you both to stand by for a minute. I'm going to bring in another voice for just a couple of minutes. Kelly Nee is the chief of police at Boston University. Prior to that, Nee spent more than 33 years with the Boston Police Department. Chief Nee, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So your reactions to the appointment and our discussion so far, Chief Nee?
I think Mayor Janey and Marie said wonderful and insightful things. I think Michael Cox is the perfect person for this moment in time to lead the Boston Police Department and in this new age of reform. And, you know, he's never been a wallflower. I've known Michael for a long time. So even when we were on the command staff at the same time, Michael was always very thoughtful and intelligent and wise, and he never hesitated to bring things up. But I think being in this position as the boss, the commissioner, he will be able to implement some of these things that he has had the vision of for many, many years.
So, you know, one of the things that's interesting in speaking with law enforcement is this window into the inside, what the inside would want from a police commissioner. For example, yesterday we spoke with Larry Ellison, who's a detective in the Boston Police Department and the former president of the Massachusetts Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers. You're a chief in a different context. What do you think the job most requires of a leader?
I think it really requires building trust, right? And Michael addressed that at his press conference. Trust within the department. The department has been through a lot over the past couple of years. Trust with the community is paramount. And I think Michael is in the perfect position to navigate both sides. He understands the challenges within the department, and his lived experience make him so knowledgeable about how to build trust within the community. I think he's going to be really hold people accountable, like he said, to reintroduce members of the police department back to the community and to understand and bring the community in, and how do you want to be policed? That's going to be a critical component.
We're talking about the new Boston Police Commissioner. Right now, we're speaking with Kelly Nee, who's the chief of police at Boston University, but served for decades on the Boston Police Department. Chief Nee, I want to set this question up. As you know, about 2 weeks ago, we saw 100 members of a white supremacist hate group march through the streets of Boston. The police had a thin response, cited concern about optics, about escorting a white supremacist group through the city, and also concerns about suppressing First Amendment rights. But many criticisms about that police response, comparing it to how police responded to protests in 2020 after George Floyd was murdered by Minneapolis police officers. So in this moment, we know white supremacy threatens our democracy. The FBI has said so. We know it's come to our streets. How would a new police commissioner tackle this, some will argue new, some will argue not at all new, threat to our city?
You're putting me on the spot.
I am.
But I do understand the optic of looking like you're having police officers escort these hate groups. I'm a member of the Governor's Hate Crimes Task Force. You know, hate and violence to solve problems has somewhat been normalized, I think, with the previous administration in the country. So I do understand this optic of looking like you're escorting. There's a big perception that the police are actually part of these groups. I don't see that. I wouldn't tolerate having a member of my department as a member of a hate group. It's intolerable, but it is very challenging, because there are a lot of First Amendment in these groups, and these leaders of these groups know the line of their First Amendment protections. And they will scrape right up against it, but it is very, very challenging. I think having good intelligence about their tactics, and if they're renting vehicles, like whatever intelligence you can get that doesn't infringe on their First Amendment protected rights, helps the city to be in a better position to protect its citizens.
So that's what you would emphasize there, is the intelligence piece especially.
Yes.
All right. That is Kelly New, who is chief of police at Boston University, and before that spent more than 33 years with the Boston Police Department. Chief Nee, always great to have you. Thanks for jumping in with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Great to be here.
And still with us as we talk about this moment with the Boston Police Department, Marie St. Fleur, who served on the Boston Police Reform Task Force for the City of Boston, and Kim Janey, former mayor of Boston in 2021. Thanks to both of you for staying with us. Mayor Janey, your reactions there.
You know, we live in very difficult times. And as you point out, these issues are not new. Our police system here in the United States was born out of slavery and slave patrols in the South. Boston is the first actual police department in the nation and recognized this as a public good. But that even was born out of patrols around our shipping industry here. And we know what was being shipped were products that were here because of enslaved individuals. And so that is our history. And as we think about the future of policing, yes, trust is so important, and making sure that there are real meaningful relationships with community. But you can only do that if you're willing to tackle some of the challenges around the blue wall of silence that we have seen in the police department. As recent as last year, we saw officers who felt intimidated and not wanting to share what they know about certain incidents. And so we have to be willing to deal with some of these issues within the department. We have to make sure that, you know, that within the department and beyond throughout the city of Boston, that there is really a relationship of trust. And I'm not sure, I know we don't have that now, and I'm hopeful that Michael can bring us there.
So there's a lot there to pick up on, Marie St. Fleur. Two things that occur to me immediately. One, we did have this cluster of events that have come to the forefront in our hearts and minds over the last 2 years that happened in the 1990s. You have Patrick Rose and the sexual abuse allegations, 2 years on a desk and then reinstated. You have Dennis White, 2 days as commissioner before being put on leave after accusations of domestic violence in the 1990s. Now you have us resurfacing the story of Michael Cox beaten by other officers while he was in plain clothes in 1995, and then years of harassment and intimidation while he tried to seek justice. And that's not including overtime abuse scandals, you know, concerns about police response after the George Floyd protests in 2020. There's so much there culturally, Marie. What's the first lever to push on?
I mean, I think that the good thing is that this new commissioner knows, because you have to have an idea of what is going on inside that building and the structures in order to understand which lever you push on first. My first lever, I would say, is transparency. I mean, you didn't mention the gentleman who, you know, hit an individual who was protesting as it related to George Floyd's death and was bragging about it and just got a suspension and was returned back as a, and again, these are supervisors. These are not line officers that we're talking about. These are supervisors, many of them that we're talking about, you just outlined, or supervisors. So therefore, they're responsible for making certain that there's accountability by the people that who's under their command. And so we really need to take a look at the training of those who are managers, who are supervisors, and really understand whether or not they have the cultural, racial competency to be able to lead in a city as diverse as ours. I mean, I think those, I think the data, I think we need to take a look at the data that we have, make that publicly available so that folks understand that it's not just the police department that's watching, but citizens who pay their salaries need to know what's going on in their police department, because the police department belongs to us, they're public servants, and they need to be they need to be able to be answerable to us, and we won't know what's happening if we don't get the appropriate data to be able to then make the appropriate recommendations, supports, or advocacy actions in order to bring change that is necessary. The other piece that we need to talk about is really looking at the training. Is the training appropriate for the type of city that we have today? We look at Boston as Black and white. Boston is more diverse than that right now. And it's not just Black, it's not just white, it's even within those groups. You have to take a look at language issues and cultural issues. And so how are we training people to understand and be supportive so that we don't have mistakes being made because of language issues, because of cultural issues? We make decisions based upon a European model of what is acceptable or what is not acceptable. And so are we looking at how the training is occurring in order to change that? The other piece is how are we making certain that when we talk about accountability, that at least it's communicated to the residents of this city, how you define accountability as a police department.
Yeah.
And does that match up with what our residents, our citizens believe is accountability, so that we're all working off the same playbook?
Maria,
so I
want to pick it up from there, if you don't mind. And first, just a note for listeners, Clifton McHale is the officer who hit the protester and bragged about it. Thanks to the control room for pulling that name for us. Marie said several things there that I saw you nodding through, Kim Janey, and I'm going to add one more to the mix on this question of accountability. One of the things that's really struck me in the last week, I gave three examples earlier. I gave, Dennis White, Michael Cox, Patrick Rose, different stories, all from that same time frame. You referred to the 1990s. Couple of times during this conversation. Paul Evans was the police commissioner during that time, 1994 to 2003, across all of those stories. Often celebrated for low crime rates during that time, reduction in crime rates, et cetera. But is accountability only for this moment forward, or should there be a conversation about past commissioners, past leadership, and that blue wall of silence as it was built during critical times?
You know, I don't know how our new commissioner will approach this, but I think from a community perspective, past injustices are at the forefront of everyone's minds. This might seem like 30 years ago to all of us who reflect on it and read about it in the newspaper, but for individuals who are impacted by these things, they are still living with this to this day, including our new commissioner. So I think when we talk about trust in the community, we have to have that accountability, we have to have that transparency, and we have to be justice-centered. If we're not, and if we're not willing to have honest conversations about some of the challenges of the past that we have experienced as a city, if we're gonna try to whitewash it and, you know, act like it wasn't so bad, then I'm not sure we can truly move forward. So I think if we're willing to have those conversations, we have to be honest and we have to be willing to build and move forward. We're not gonna hash all of this stuff up just to reopen the wounds. There has to be healing. And the only way we can do that is if we're really focused on transparency, accountability, and justice.
And just very briefly, we've only got a couple minutes left. Who are the outside partners that partner with the Boston Police Department in a conversation like that?
You know, I think it's everyone who is impacted. These are community groups, neighborhood associations. These are young people. These are different groups who organize around identity, whether, you know, cultural or, you know, everyone in the city of Boston. We all pay into people who pay their property tax. That's all how we pay for our public good, whether it be the police, whether it be other public good. So we need to make sure that anyone who wants to be part of that conversation can be part of that conversation. But it has to be structured and it has to be productive. It's not going to be good just to hash up old stuff and then go back into your corners. There has to be a path forward for how we lead, have that conversation in a way that it can be honest but productive and move us forward.
And Marie St. Fleur, last word to you in just a sentence. What are you most hopeful about in this moment?
I am hopeful that we take deep dive into the structure and that we take action. And we have, you know, the Office of Police Accountability, again, is in my role in the task force, we actually create a structure that could provide a way to begin to take a deep dive into some of these issues. And so unless we are willing, we can have as many conversations as we want, as we've had conversations on race for I don't know how long that we've been having these conversations at race, but it has to be attached to real structural change.
Yep.
And so when we look at training, we can have a conversation about what are the root causes of why it is that the trainings have occurred the way that they have, and then really look at the levers that we're going to change in order to make that different. And that means it's the type of training you bring in the building. It's who's providing the training. That's going to be, and how are you getting the young officers, the cadets out there to work with community so that they are trained appropriately to be able to communicate, to be able to protect, and to be able to serve in a way that is culturally and racially competent.
All right.
I think that's going to be important. It's really around connecting this conversation that you want to have as you get to the excavation that is necessary and to the changing of the structures, because the structures are not conducive to racial harmony in the Boston Police Department or to equity in the Boston Police Department, and they need to be changed.
Marie St. Fleur is former Massachusetts State Representative and a member of the 11-person Boston Police Reform Task Force, now a principal at St. Fleur Communications and CEO of a cannabis company. And Kim Janey is former mayor of Boston, former Boston City Councilor, and now president and CEO of Empath. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much. And hey, Marie.
It's great to
be here with you. All right. Take care.